Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The moderator of the Presbyterian Church, the Right Reverend Dr. David Bruce, said this morning that the title for the controversial ecumenical service organised for Armagh next month had been discussed beforehand with the Northern Ireland office and the Department of Foreign Affairs, and no concerns were raised with the organisers by President Michael D. Higgins. We'll be talking to Dr. Bruce in a moment, but first, here's Michael D. Higgins speaking in Rome last Friday.
Can I say to you, straightforwardly, in the week before St. Patrick's Day, I addressed these words and I said, if this title and the structure suggested remains, it may be that I will have to wish you well, but decline. Straightforwardly.
And that is President Michael D. Higgins speaking last week. The Right Reverend Dr. David Bruce is with me now. You're very welcome to the programme.
Evening, Cormac. Thank you.
We played those clips at the tail end of last week from President Michael D. Higgins, and they caused quite a stir. But you're saying today that no concerns were raised with the organisers. Is that right?
We're certainly saying that no concerns were communicated to us, Cormac. I've no doubt that what President Higgins has said is accurate, that he did indeed express his concerns, but for whatever reason, those concerns did not reach us. Now, I do need to clarify that very early in the piece, he makes reference to St. Patrick's Day and the period before that. There were different visions, as it were, about what the various events surrounding the marking of the centenary of the formation of Northern Ireland and the border, there were differing visions about what that would look like. Some had expressed a view that there should be state occasions and a celebratory tone and a variety of things. That was not in accord, I think it's fair to say, with the view of the church leaders, and we made our views clear at that early stage that that was not what we were wanting to achieve, either by a service of worship, which we've been planning, or indeed any other aspect of marking what is a highly contentious centenary anniversary.
So can I ask you then, when the ecumenical event that's to be held in Armagh next month, when that was started, say, that the proper discussions for that got underway, who were you in communication with?
We followed the normal channels, which in our case is the Northern Ireland office in relation to the United Kingdom government and the Department of Foreign Affairs, of course, in Dublin, in relation to the ARIS. And we had a series of exchanges over a number of months in which we developed the concept and the idea, including the title and the format of the service.
And did you ever receive correspondence directly from the Department of Foreign Affairs in any way on this?
We had a series of meetings and correspondence with representatives of the Department of Foreign Affairs as the concept was developed, as I've said. And I think I need to say that we did not receive any concerns or reasons to change tack. I think if concerns had been raised with us as a group of church leaders, then of course we would have responded very carefully to that.
Would you have been amenable to changing the title, for example? Because the president spoke last week about, and I'm paraphrasing, his difficulty with the title and the structure of the event, as we played there. Would you have been amenable to looking again at those elements of the event?
The last thing we wanted to do in creating this service was to politicise it. We knew, obviously, that there would be those who would welcome the opportunity to mark the centenary, just as there would be those who would lament the fact of partition. So we were aware that we were entering into a contentious space in doing this. So the last thing we would want to do, would have wanted to do, either by the title or the structure or the content of the service, was to alienate any part of the group of participants who we were inviting to be there.
And it was obviously important to you, the church leaders, that the president be there as well as Queen Elizabeth.
The symbolism of having a head of state present, of course, extends beyond just the individual. And look, I do need to say this. I have huge admiration for Michael D. Higgins as President of Ireland. I applaud his record over the years in being involved in reconciliation, North and South, and his engagement with different bodies with whom he may intuitively disagree. I think he has been a model in relation to that, as indeed have his predecessors mm-hmm. in the office of president. So there's no personal animosity here from the church leaders in this respect. I think there's a sense of sadness that his presence, his lack of presence, his absence from this service will, in some important respect, diminish the symbolic importance of the event.
Do you think it's obviously, I mean, you've answered it there in a roundabout way, I suppose. You obviously think it's the wrong decision by the president, then, do you, David?
I'm certainly not going to say that. I think the president is master in his own house, and he is entitled as a head of state to make decisions which he considers to be appropriate for his office. Mm-hmm. And in this case, he has done that. I'm not going to second guess that. I'm not going to question that. I accept it. And I think all the church leaders acknowledge that we would much prefer if he had found it possible to attend. But given that he isn't, we will, of course, press on with the service. We will continue to organize it and trust that those who watch it online and who are present in the cathedral will find it to be a space of reflection and hope for the future.
You will press on with one head of state. Queen Elizabeth will be there. Is that right?
I certainly can't comment on what the royal household will do in this respect. That would be a matter for her household to determine.
Okay, so you haven't received a response to the invitation from Queen Elizabeth yet?
Well, again, I would prefer not to answer questions about who has been invited and what their response has been until we're a little closer to the event
okay.
and the formal announcements can be made.
And I don't want to press you on that unfairly, and feel free to reject any question or not to answer any question. But the reason I ask you that, David, is I refer back to the joint statement issued by the church leaders around St. Patrick's Day or before St. Patrick's Day last, when you say some may struggle with the concept of a shared history. And you acknowledge that at the very start. But you go on to say, what is undeniable, however, is the reality that we have to live in a shared space in these islands and to make them a place of belonging and welcome for all. Now, I wonder, is it the right approach to press ahead with the event with only one head of state present?
It's a great question. And look, within the church leaders group, and there we are, five of us sitting in the room representing lots of different Christian traditions, not only that, but different cultural perspectives and political ideals. We ourselves represent in the room some of those divisions. And yet, as a group of leaders, Christian leaders, we are determined to model the shared space of which we spoke in that St. Patrick's Day statement. So for us, it is hugely important that we go on ahead with this service, that it is what we anticipated it would be from the start. That's to say, a service which models reconciliation and models for all of society and all political stripes and opinions a way forward that is based on hope and gives us a chance to reflect on these differences. Northern Ireland has been a place of historic mistrust and division that has led to violence and death. Nobody can back off from that horrible reality. Mm-hmm. But we need to find a space and a way of saying that the future needs to be better than the past. And this service will enable us to do that, or at least it would be a small step in enabling us to do that. And the church leaders themselves have different perspectives on this. Some of our conversations together have been tense, sometimes difficult.
Around which elements, David, were they tense?
Well, you could anticipate that. You know, you have
the title, for example, the partition, mentioning the partition and the formation of Northern Ireland. That's an obvious example, is it?
There were many aspects of the service. The title is one, but the content, every line of the order of service and the different elements within it have been carefully discussed and prayed through by each of us as church leaders together. And we have found a way of finding a common purpose and a common ground together in placing this this ecumenical service.
Was there a disagreement in any way about mentioning partition?
I think we obviously talked at length about that and felt that partition is a political fact. It happened in 1921, and to ignore the fact would be to remove a self-evident reality from the centre of the issue that we're trying to explore together. We can't deny that there is a border like it, some may like it, some may not. We acknowledge that. The purpose of our service is, in light of this self-evident fact, to ask ourselves some hard questions about how we can carve out a future for ourselves which is based on reconciliation and which is hopeful for our children and our grandchildren.
Do you see, and there were an awful lot of political views, views from politicians expressed in this last week, and I'm sure you may have heard some of them, David, but do you see the problem from the President's point of view, the President of Ireland commemorating partition and the formation of Northern Ireland? Can you acknowledge that?
If this were a celebration or indeed a commemoration, then yes, indeed. That is clearly not what this is. This is a service of reflection and hope, which marks the political reality that I've just described, whether we welcome it or not. So we're not commemorating or celebrating. It's not a political service. It's not even a state occasion. You know, there will be no flags or emblems or pomp and ceremony in reference to one state or the other. That's not the purpose of this. This is like pausing for breath. It's like hitting the pause button and saying, let's slow down. Let's reflect together. Let's dream together about what a new future might look like for us.
I suppose that's what you all hoped it would be, but it has turned into something very different, hasn't it, in the lead up to it anyway, because this has now become a roadmap to political trouble or embarrassment. And there's a mystery that surrounds it, isn't there? Because there were discussions at the very start, back before St. Patrick's Day. Then somewhere along the line, it seems Michael D. Higgins raised concerns about the title and the structure. It seems now the concerns were never relayed to you directly by whoever. The invitations have been sent out, it seems, and now we have President Higgins declining. It's a roadmap to embarrassment, isn't it?
I think the embarrassment is out there already for those who may feel that. For us, the words we would prefer to use are sadness. And I think that genuinely describes how each of the church leaders in their own spheres feel about this. Mm-hmm. We would much rather that we had been able to model in a manner that demonstrated our commitment to unity, that a service of worship would express this. And as I've said before, the President's absence diminishes, in our view, the service, and we had hoped and wished that he may have been able to be with us.
Can I tell you that we were in touch with the Department of Foreign Affairs in Dublin and the Áras an Uachtaráin for a comment, and the Department of Foreign Affairs came back to us and they said, you might be interested in this, they said the President has dealt with this matter and made clear that he decided not to attend. The event is one entirely led and organised by the main churches on this island, not by either government. Is that an adequate explanation as to why you didn't hear about the concerns raised by the President, David?
It's undoubtedly an accurate summary of the facts. The service is indeed organised and planned and led by and the responsibility of the church leaders. It's not organised by either state. I'm not in a position to second guess what mechanisms of communication were operative or not operative between the Áras and the Department of Foreign Affairs or anyone else. I'm simply not in a position to do that.
But you certainly didn't hear any concerns raised by the President from the Department of Foreign Affairs. Can I ask you before I let you go, if you have invited any Irish government official or any Irish minister?
Invitations have been issued today to representatives of governments in London and in Dublin, and of course also the administration in Belfast. I'm not in a position to say much more than that because the invitations have only just been sent, but we will await the responses of those who receive them.
Okay, and they said they have they will consider any such invitation were it to be sent, and now we know it is being sent. So, Right Reverend Dr. David Bruce, moderator of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, thank you very much indeed for joining us on Drive Time.
Thank you, Cormac.